of the dangerous groups that we're dealing with now.
The main thing with everything that's happening right now, you know, with there's the bomb blasts and all of those things, and people are worried about safety and everything, really do just mark for yourself, go home and read Psalm 91, because there's we always have to be lining up our thinking and our thoughts with the Word, and actually our prayer. And that's actually something we're going to even talk about tonight, because there's power in, first of all, in your thought and in your heart, and then in the words that you speak. And this is, we're going to talk a little bit about this evening. But people get so wrapped up in thinking like a worlder, thinking like the way that the world thinks and contemplates, and they miss the reality that God has made available for us through Christ Jesus. There's something very specific that is available for God's people. I've noticed something, like people in the New Age and stuff, they pick up on principles that God left for His people, and they kind of pull little chunks, bits and pieces, scriptural things, and they try to use them and repackage them in, like, you know, the power of positive thinking and you're laughing. The power of and you know, people talking about certain confessions that, you know, and all these, you know, like, you know, if you feel good and you believe it and you just, you know, drinking fruit juices and all that stuff. But if you understand a principle, and if you utilize a principle, if you can utilize a truth, it has an effect, whether or not you if you apply it, it works. So, for example, like you can take somebody that you take a couple people that, you know, have never you mix some chemicals, you know, in a chemistry class or something. You may not know what they do, but you mix them and they have a certain effect. You may or may not understand how that works, but it's still, there's a response that takes place when you mix something. There's causes and effects for all kinds of things that happen. People take principles, scriptural principles. I remember human resource management in college, there was this guy talking about job rotation. And it's already in the Bible. You know, that happened back with Solomon, and, you know, when they were building and they were cutting down forests and they were moving people around, but they were coming out with this in college, like they had just come up with these great concepts, and all the stuff is there in Scripture, stuff that works. So one thing that we do is we let the Scriptures and the Word line us up. So before we ever open the Word, you can pray and you can ask God and you can say, Lord, teach me, you know, what's really going on. Show me what's really happening. So, and you come to Him with honesty. So, like, all right, there's a war going on outside. You know, I'm concerned about my family. I'm concerned about my siblings. I'm concerned about people that I work with. What do I do? How do I respond to this? What is your instruction to me in the middle of this? And and He'll show you, because sometimes He'll say, look, you know, time for you to leave, time for you to go somewhere else. Other times He'll say, look, you need to be right here. You're the person that I have here in the middle of this for a reason. Sometimes He'll use you to pray for people that can't pray for themselves. And sometimes it's in the middle of crisis that people are open to answering questions they would never have thought about if everything was going great. You know, so we don't know, but we have to find out what's God's purpose in us being in a place at a particular time. So something I was kind of thinking about recently, and this is just one thing I thought we should talk about a little bit tonight, is there's incredible power that is in us, that when we were made and we came into this reality, when God fashioned us, there's a tremendous power that's in us as well. Scriptures talk about, in Mark chapter Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus said, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Okay. So Jesus is helping people realize, one, priorities, and then also value. priority being, you gain it all in the world, but if you lose, your soul. So this last week, two ministers get killed inside of 7 days in this country, government ministers. And maybe some of them had presidential aspirations or what. I mean, whatever it was, all of what they aspired to is gone. And how many of the people in part of their entourage? How many people around the world? Benazir Bhutto. Here's somebody, political aspirations, and 4 years at Harvard, 4 years at Cambridge, and all of that stuff, everything that she did, all of that, gone. She's gone. The person is no longer there anymore. Now, maybe some of the things that those people have done have ramifications and repercussions, but those people themselves don't exist anymore. These are visible people. People in your own family. People that are are part of your life. All of us have lost people that we love and people that we care about. And all of us, every person in this world, not a soul comes into this world to stay in this world. Every single person that has breath right now on the face of the earth will not have it at some point. And that's a petrifying thought for people that don't know Christ, for sure, because they've invested themselves in this world. They put all of their stock on being here and being able to hold on to this reality. And it's a temporal reality. It doesn't last. So Jesus was helping people realize that again. He's saying, look, you can gain it all, but if you forfeit that which has eternal value. See, I mean, just think about it too. If you had two resources, one was, and you had two things in front of you, so you had this and this, and one thing lasted for a million years and one thing lasted for 2 weeks. However shiny this thing was over here, it doesn't have lasting value. It deteriorates and it goes away. So the soul of a person is eternal. The soul of a human being there's an incredible power inside of the soul. And scriptures even talk about in Revelation how souls of men were actually bought and sold, even in the time that we're living in. So there's a lot going on even behind the scenes, because again, remember, we've established that the spiritual reality is the real one, and the one that you see with your eyes is really, that's the temporal one. So we're functioning in the dream world, but spiritual reality is the one that's real. So God is saying, look, if you can look past the the natural reality, and if you can really see what's going on, it's a fool's exchange to give up your soul for success in the world. rather to lose your life for the gospel and for the king and for the kingdom and for Jesus, and to take the exchange that he offers, which is he pays for our sin, he forgives us, we receive what he did for us on the cross, and he's Lord, and out of that you follow him, you find real life. But it doesn't come on our terms, it comes on his terms. So, but in it being on his terms, there's a fulfillment that you never find trying to do it yourself. See, with us, what we would do is we would try to create a reality that sounds good to us. So we'd say, okay, if I can just get, you know, the nice penthouse apartment and my BMW 300 series, and you know, or you know, two, you need a Pajero, whatever, you need some land in the hills, and you need to have your kids and make sure they all have their, you know, top-notch Ivy League educations and beach house if you don't like that kind of thing. And but you go through your whole list of stuff that you think in the world, and then now you need position, and you need to be able to lord over some other people and tell other people where to do and what to get, you know, how to get off, and just, you know, whatever. And but you go through all this stuff, and then what? You see, so people rise to in their own mind, here's what I want, and or here's what I think would be that reality. And at the end of it, if they're ever honest about it, they're completely empty. There's nothing there for them at the end of the day. There's no fulfillment in it. And usually what happens with people that I know that have a ton of money, because I know some that just are, but if they don't have Christ, there becomes this obsession with, because the pleasure too, the problem with that is they continue to have to do more and more stuff to try to get the same high, just like drugs. It's like you need a bigger fix to get the same level of plateau that you had before. You need more and more levels of perversion to try to get off. You need more and more. So it's like, so that keeps raising the bar, and they can't get anything out of that anymore. And then it's just power. So, because money doesn't, you know, it's like they have more than they could ever spend. Pleasure's not working for them. And then, and so it's like, and then, so there is this deterioration that they just go through. And the whole time, because again, the spiritual reality is the one that's real, there is demonic forces just get more and more of a hold on that person's soul. And they're no longer themselves anymore. They're no longer, they can't even find themselves. They wouldn't even know who they are anymore. If you meet them 10 years later, it's like, who is this person? It's like a shell of what you used to know. And usually that person's personality isn't even there anymore. It's like there's something else using them, using that shell. And so they're not even there anymore, because they gave up their soul for success in the world, and they don't even get to enjoy that. Something steps in, a demonic presence steps in and uses that person and accesses the rest of it while their soul is held in this bondage, you know, while the body's still alive. And then they're cut off, and then they're lost for eternity. So for those that know Christ, you're set free from that. And if you trust him, he puts you on this adventure where it's an amazing fulfillment, where you can be setting up chairs someplace, or building a fence, or, you know, taking a walk in a park, and you just have this completion that's in you, that's part of you, that because you were made that way. You were made complete by him. And it's not something that has to happen with anything external. He does that in you. And then if you allow for the desires of your heart to be rearranged by him, you end up desiring and wanting what he wants and what he desires and what he does in and through you. And there comes to this place where there's this union in spirit between you and the Father. So it's a progression where because when we come to Christ, the world has already done plenty of damage to us. You know, it's done a lot of stuff to affect our mind and our thoughts and our bodies and all the stuff, where now he has to renew those places. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So that's why it's to our benefit to spend time in the Word. with the Spirit of God leading us, where you say, okay, God, this is your scriptures. What are you saying to me today? And you know it. When you've read the Word now, being activated by the Spirit of God, it's like it just speaks to you off the page. You know, when you flip through scriptures, when you read something, it's like, wow, you know, there's stuff there that you didn't see before. You can read the same chapter 15 different times over the course of a year, and each time something new will strike, because it's a living thing. So, with us, though, one is realizing priorities, saying, okay, the thing that is important is for us to be in step, be in possession of your soul, in step with the Father. Now this is eternal life, John 17:3, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So it's like to know Him, to be in a relationship with Him, to be in possession of your soul, in connection with the Father, and giving of your free will over to Him so that He leads and directs your life. That's life. And you can live in a state of eternal life now. It's not something you have to wait to happen 10 years from now. It's like you can begin at this moment in time to know and to walk in God's purpose and why He designed you, why He made you. So then it's this process of discovery of saying, okay, you know, why, what am I doing here now? Okay, got to know you. Now we're connected up. Really cool. You know, you've spoken to my heart. I know you, and I know you know me. I know I'm your child. excuse me. So I'm still here, you know, and bombs are going off, and people are getting shot, and all this stuff is happening around me. What am I still doing here? Yeah, and that's the question. And then it's like, okay, now you open yourself up to then God's purpose. Because it's not about saving our life here in this world. It's not about quantity of life. You know, some of the most powerful lives that were ever lived were very short. I mean, Jesus' actual ministry itself was only 3.5 years. He didn't spend a lot of time doing what God had for Him to do here. He was very pointed and very deliberate. But yet His life has had an impact throughout. So, so with us, you start saying, okay, Lord, I'm still here. Because, I mean, realistically, even if you had a 200-year life, there's really not a lot you can do in and of yourself to affect or change anything. You know, you build a house and 10 years from now it starts to have leaks and problems, and you know, you try to help a few people and tomorrow they're in the same situation again. Or I mean, it's just like a lot of things that people have tried to do in and of themselves really haven't done much. So for us, we start to say, okay, God, what is the purpose that you really have me here for? And then He unfolds that in your heart, each one of us individually, specifically, how you've been uniquely designed. See, this is where the danger of religion really, really hits people, because religions seek to conform. And if they can conform you, see, the reason they seek to conform is in conformity comes control. So if everybody knows that when you push this button or you ring this bell, everybody stands up and everybody sits down. Everybody goes this way, everybody goes that way. If people know the cues they're supposed to do, they can be completely controlled by somebody instigating a system. Whereas if you, as an individual, are a connection with the Creator for yourself, and He instructs you, and into one person's heart He paints one vision, and your heart He paints something else, and my heart He paints something else. With each person, one, you can't be controlled, and they don't know what you're going to do. So tomorrow you may wake up and the Father may speak to your heart and say, okay, Peachy, I want you to go to Cambodia. Yeah. I have a friend who, when she was 19, God told her to get on a boat and go to Hong Kong. and she ended up having one of the most amazing works with drug addicts and prostitutes in Hong Kong that they've ever seen. And she went there, no support, no anything, just knew that God was sending her. And her life belonged to him. And she has one of the most amazing lives of people that I know. She's an inspiration to me. So, but she knows him for herself. But with that though, you can't, it takes for yourself knowing him. But then also part of it is also knowing what God has put in you. See, do you ever wonder why the world does so much to try to control the way that you think? You know, what you think, how you dress, what you talk about, who you, what you do, where you go. And you mean, why is there such, you know, step back for a moment. You know, separate ourselves from everything that we faced for the last week or month or whatever. Why is there such an effort to control the way that you think? Open question. Because you're bombarded by it all the time. I mean, advertising, huge thing. The entire industry of advertising is focused to get you to think a certain way, to get you to have a certain perception.
So that you can reprogram like a work of media.
Programming is a huge part of it, yeah. Is there more though? That was something I was starting to think. Is there more going on than just getting you to be programmed? Than just getting you to buy carbonated sugar water and thinking it's part of your, you know, necessary for your life? Because I was, okay, this is the one I was wrestling with, so I'm going to open this one up a little bit tonight. Because there's a tremendous power that God has put inside of his people. Now, one, you realize that Jesus talked about the value of a soul. One thing, too, is he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But also, flip that, and if you were to do a formula, the value of one soul is worth more than everything in the entire world. So if I was to say, okay, me, personalize it. Say, I mean, people say, oh yeah, soul, okay. No, me, my soul, your soul, your soul, your individual soul, in what it possesses and what it's made of and what it's been designed of, has more value than the entire world and everything in the world. So all of the houses and all of the cars and all of the nations and everything that they have doesn't compare to the value of one eternal soul. And yet, eternal souls are bought and given and exchanged for much, much less. And the devil tried to offer that one to Jesus. He said, look, give me your soul and I'll give you the world. And Jesus is like, that's a crap deal. I'm not taking that. I mean, like, he knew. He said, get behind me, Satan. You know, I know what you're up to. I mean, you worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. So, there is beginning to realize, okay, one, the value of what's in you, but then also what it's capable of. There's something that your soul is capable of and capable of doing and capable of producing that, the atom. Take Albert Einstein. Nobody cared about the atom before then. And some, along the way, this man's knowledge and understanding about it figured out a way to split the atom, create nuclear energy, and all of a sudden something was unleashed where if you just get a little bit of plutonium and you figure out how this works, you unleash this energy that destroyed cities. You know, I mean, and now the whole world has this thing and everybody's afraid of what might happen, but something that was before, seemingly, it was still there. The power was still there. In that matter, it just hadn't been released. now think about you and your soul and what's inside of you. And what is potentially there and what it could potentially do if it was activated. And okay, see, smile. It's, you start, okay, let me show you something. Alright, God. Let's go to the very start of the book. Alright, Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, so God said, let there be light, and there's light. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning, John 1. Okay, keep this stuff in mind. Alright, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we move a little bit forward from there. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay. So God said, let us make man in our image, and in our likeness. So we were made like God. The very start of this whole thing, when we were made, when we were fashioned, we were made like him. In Psalms, it says that God has made man a little lower than the angels. But the word is Elohim, which is literally his own name. So God made man just a little bit lower than himself. We're made just like him. We're made in his image. We were made in his likeness. So there's something in the way that God made us. Okay. Keep that one in mind, and then, let's see here. I want to flip to okay. James, I think James. James is the one. Okay. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I didn't mark that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, so we have Adam, and so Adam messed up, and there's something happened there. We talked about that a while back. But more than that, man didn't lose his authority. He lost the power to be able to carry that thing out. Because he still kept that position. That's why, that's why the enemy works through human agents to do the things that he does. You know, otherwise he would just do it himself. But he's got to work through evil rulers and all this kind of stuff. But okay. Okay, First Corinthians chapter 15, let me start at verse 40. So there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. But also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Okay, So,
a bit lost.
Two atoms. Who was the last atom? It was Jesus.
Yeah.
So Jesus was the... So you had an atom that's messed up. And when this first atom came on the scene, everything was in his favor. But he was still made with weakness, in that he was made with the capacity to fall. Jesus again comes on this. Now Jesus comes on the scene, and everything is stacked against him. So he comes into a hostile territory. He comes into a difficult thing. He comes into, you know, a low-income family. Everything is set up against him. Mother's got a six-month pregnancy after they got married. All this stuff. Everything's stacked against this guy from the beginning. And this is God's choice and God's son that he sends into the world to for this purpose. And he is the second Adam, in that he's an example of what should be and what we can be if we're in him. So the first Adam, when you talk about, okay, so he was given certain instruction in Genesis to have dominion over the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. Well, let me go back to that one really quick. He was given three specific instruction. He was told, there you go, to have dominion over creation, to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue the whole earth, and there was also to replenish, I think. Where is that? Yeah. So he was given some instructions for what to do with the earth, and he was also given this power in the state that he was in before the fall to carry that out. So this first Adam, you start thinking about it, because if Jesus was the second Adam and an example walking around where he was walking on water and he was turning water into wine and he was speaking and trees were withering and stopping storms and healing people left and right and center of everything. I mean, he didn't even have to be there. He just said somebody's taken care of and they're healed. It was an amazing power in this guy while he was here. And then you start to realize, okay, what part of what Adam lost with the fall. So in the fall, man was affected. He lost that part of who he was separated from him in his own ability, with his disconnect from God. Now in Jesus, all of a sudden you start seeing, all right, here's the second Adam. And so now, again, remember when in Acts chapter 1, where he speaks to the church, the early church, he says, look, don't go anywhere until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which has been promised you by the Father. You know, because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In all, here, let me, I don't want to go by my memory. I want to read this one to you. Okay. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witness, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So God is given now people. He said, look, don't go anywhere until you get this empowering. So, because they already had something now burning inside them. Look, Jesus, we just saw you. We know you're alive. We got to go tell anybody. He said, look, you need something else before you do this. You need to be activated. And now when these guys were activated by the empowering of God, what ended up happening with them? They were doing the same stuff Jesus was doing. So they were going into places, they were healing people, they were casting out demons, they were raising dead. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, I mean, even the speaking in tongues was just a manifestation for of, you know, it's just like just a byproduct, like heat. You know, you turn on kettle on a stove, and you know the steam comes out. It's just the manifestation that the water inside is boiling. So, and this wasn't anything special as such. It was just the power that God had put in them and activated in them, their soul being redeemed and being activated now by Christ and the dam breaking with the Holy Spirit coming through them, is like now, all of a sudden, they're released. And you can see why the world and the world system that's at enmity with God would do everything it could to keep that from happening in you. Because if you were released, if your spirit and your soul was activated and empowered and released, and your mind actually was lined up with the Word of God and actual reality, and not the illusion that they seek to keep you bound in, but was lined up with the actual reality of how things really are, what could end up happening to them and to their entire system? Huge disruption. Huge disruption. I mean, scriptures talk about two witnesses in the book of Revelation, just two guys that are going to, I mean, whether it's figurative or literal, still, they talk about two that shut down everything. You know, these guys just, you know, they speak and plagues come upon things. Anybody that tries to touch them gets burned up with fire. I mean, it's just like these guys don't play. These are guys that are in step with Him. So now bringing it back to us. And then I started saying, okay, all right, what are some subtleties about this? What are some things that are already kind of available? There's it's a show called, some friends in Holland were telling me about it. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know? It's called What the Bleep Do We Know? I don't know if it's they took out the swear or whatever. But, they did this experiment. And they took two things of rice in little jars, in glass jars. I was telling you about it. And they put them in two different rooms. And to one jar, every day they'd go and they'd say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then to the other one, in the other room, they'd go, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And they would do this back and forth, you know, just every day. And within 3 months, the one that was in this dry rice that was in this jar that was being told it was hated all the time started to rot, and the other one was just fine. And I met a guy in Holland. He's like, and he did the same experiment. He was curious, so he did the same thing. He's like, yeah, same thing happened. So it wasn't just like, because I mean, anybody can do it. But then you start saying, okay, there's power in the words that we speak. There's just, whether you know that one or not, I mean, so it's like if somebody speaks, if somebody says something, there's power in the words that they say. So if somebody tells a child, you're so beautiful, you're so lovely, you are so smart, versus, you know, you are just, you know, you were an accident and nobody loves you, and you know, this world would be better off if you weren't here. Yeah, I mean, think about that. Those kind of, no, I mean, like, if people say, we laugh, but it's just like, but people say things. And when people say, there's times where I've met people, like, some things that were said to them when they were young stayed with them for 10, 15 years. Some pointed, pointed cutting statement at some place somewhere along the way, where, you know, and most of the times it didn't have any grounding or any basis at all. It was probably some demon just working through a person, but just to put something in there that would be some source of insecurity or something there. And because there's power, there's a power in the tongue. The scriptures say I'll show you this one. In James. All right. In James, it says, okay, let me just start at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraideth not, and it shall be given him. And let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God, of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in his that he is exalted, but the rich that he is made low, because he is as the flower of the grass, and he shall pass away. Wait a second. Let me... let me jump to verse 26. I want to come back to some things. But if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Another place too, that talks about how the tongue is full of deadly poison. It's got the power of life and death in the tongue. There's all speaking about the tongue. There's just this power that's there. There's the ability to speak life. There's the ability to speak death. I mean, people can... Think about this nation. I mean, how much in every single day in this country, with the things that are going on, how much do you think people bless this land versus how much do you think they curse it? How much do you think people bless their neighbor or curse their neighbor here? I mean, you just start to think about this just a little bit, and then you start to say, whoa, wait a second. In all of that, is that the reality that they're speaking into existence? Okay, now, if God said, let there be light, and there was light, and we're created in the image of God and in His likeness, and then, with the things that are around us, if what is our response and what we see and what we speak is a curse over the land that we live in, is that what's being created by the thoughts of our mind and the meditation of our heart? Not to say that, you know, if we see things that are going on, you know, God moves us to act. Yes, of course we act, but there's a difference between that and, you know, allowing for your heart and your mind being wrapped up into the world and responding the same way that the world does to everything that goes on. Because if there's a creative power in the tongue to be able to speak life or to be able to speak death, to be able to create a reality or to be able to still one, so Jesus would speak and somebody would be healed. Jesus would speak and somebody would be restored. You know, if he didn't speak, would their situation have stayed the same? Probably. You know? So, you know, I was thinking about something in the month of December, and I finally figured this one out. It took me a while. Like, because of all the stuff that started to happen in December, I started, like, keeping a tab of things that were going on and started just focusing on this. And it was like this... So I started listing. I don't even want to focus on them anymore at all because I figured this lesson out. I was allowing for a certain, a certain reality to be created even in my own life with the things that were happening to me at that time. And as I glorified the negative stuff that was happening, it was like this magnet for other things to start coming my way. And so it was just like, and then each thing, and I was like, oh, can you believe this? And oh, can you believe this? And it's just like, and I was speaking because, see, all right, I've been activated by God. So I know there's power in the words that I speak. If I speak and if I say something to somebody, which is why I have to be careful of what I say, because there's power in the words that I say. I'm not like some low charge battery. I'm like, you know, I'm like actually plugged into the wall. into the socket. And so I was allowing for a certain reality to start coming into my own life. And it was like, and then I finally caught it. You know, there's like, and I'm glad I learned this thing, because all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a second. That was what was going on. I was because, yeah, my speaking, my thought life, my thoughts were not in the Word. My thoughts were in the circumstances around me. My mind was getting wrapped up in what was going on around me and not the basis from and a response coming from the Word of God to the things that are going on around me. And because of that, I was allowing for the perpetuation of that same reality more and more and more. And as soon as that, and I can tell you exactly when that stopped, was when I woke up on New Year's Day, and it was like, all right, I got it. This is exactly what's going on. Thank you, Lord. And from that moment on, everything has switched. Everything that was going that one way, because now I understand why certain things are instructed to us in scriptures and what I was allowing to happen in the creation of reality, even in my own life. Okay, because scriptures give us some instructions. Here. All right. Like, we're told a few things. Alright, like in... Does that make sense though first? Or not? Here.
It does.
But?
It does.
It does.
And I've kind of experienced it as well. I mean, like, in the past couple of months, you know, remember I was having such a hard time with all the negativity that was around me.
Yeah.
When I was pulled out of it and all the positivity was given, you know, like, you know, doing things that I wasn't sure, not confident kind of thing. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't believe myself, but I thank, like, God every day, you know.
Yeah.
Something good happens, like, you know, God, and, you know, and every day I'm like, you know, I can't do this, you know, it's you who has to.
In a couple of months, your entire reality has changed. Your entire external situation has changed. But it wasn't an external change that made that. It was first an internal change that took place in you, and then the external environment shifted.
Yeah.
That's the key. Because what happens, and even Jesus said, the kingdom is within. You come to a place of connection with the Father within, surrender within, and then that allows for a change in everything else. And even if the external environment doesn't change, the way we respond to it changes. That's why the world works so hard to get control of your mind and your thoughts, because if it can get control of your mind and your thoughts, what happens is then, one, it wins your heart, and then the confession of your mouth perpetuates that exact same reality. Yeah, you're bound up and you're tied up, and your soul and the power that's within your soul is now being used to perpetuate and build the illusion and what they want. Exactly. So, alright, so like, that's why then now certain things started to like unlock for me in scripture, where like, okay, Philippians chapter 4, where Paul writing, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I mean, so it's like he's also giving an instruction. This is Paul writing from prison. He's saying, okay, how many people, if they were locked up in prison, are going to be, oh, okay, what's so honest and what's just and what's pure? I mean, who writes like that outside of somebody whose reality and heart's been changed? And but in that, one, his words, the words that God gave and spoke through him are 2,000 years lasting value right now, and there's a power that's in them, but the reality changes with the, but it's, it, we have to, there's a part that we do play in this. So it's the free will choice decision to work with the Spirit of God and to line us and allow him to line us up with his word, his Spirit, and to let that be the reality that's created through us and around us. So I mean, so for me, it's just like there's some things I know about this year, you know, that God's already put in my spirit. There's some things I know about what's going to happen with me and people around me and ministry and just things like that. It's like where I just know, you know. And it's like, so for me, I have like an assurance about that, a boldness about that. I can speak because along those lines too, and I know that God, creative God, is making that stuff happen as well. And so I don't have to go by the external reality that I see, because when God spoke, he would speak about things that in the natural weren't there, and they would be created. Because that's the power that's also within us. There's a creative power that was put in the very first human that was made. An ability to create. So, with us too, watch what you say. Because you can create and validate, especially when your heart and your mouth are in alignment together. So that's why when friends joke with you and they're like, you know, oh, you're so crazy, or, but you know, and in their heart they don't believe that, but they're saying something out of their mouth and it's called a joke, you know. But if somebody believes something in their heart and they speak it with their mouth, it's like it cuts. They could say the exact same words and there's something there. When your heart and the confession of your mouth are in alignment, there's power in that. And with that power is the ability to destroy or to create. You know, a word spoken by a child of God in connection with the Spirit of God can destroy a city. I mean, when I started seeing some of this stuff, I'm like, whoa, for myself, I'm like, there's tremendous power in God's people. But again, they've never been activated. And so few of them even realize or even on the pursuit to say, okay, God, who am I? What am I about? What is there in me? You know, it's not just to go to whatever's going on once a week somewhere and then to try to make it in the world. No, there's more. So again, this is part of how we individually line up, because you yourself are a priest of God in the world, and you connect up with the Father and then allow him to show you and to reveal to you his call and his purpose on your life, and then realize that there is a creative power placed in you by the Father for that can create anything. So, you know, for every problem that's going on in the world right now, God has a solution. Every single one. And if man would humble himself, bow his knee before God, and seek his face, he would get give them the solution and the answer to every single one of those quickly. So climate change, not an issue. Energy problems around the world, not a problem. Family issues, individual level. Every single thing that people face in this world, God has an answer and a solution for them, for anyone that will bow their face to Him and seek His direction, seek His path. But what happens is the world has chosen another way. And because they've chosen another way, they reap the consequences of their choice. So there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. But it's the way of death. You have to seek Him and seek His path, and He will show you the way of life. But I was starting to just pick up on some things. Be careful of the people that are around you, because what will happen is they will also begin to go down a certain path with, and they want you to join them in that. You know, scripture says bad company corrupts good character.
I learned it only now.
No, sometimes you see things that do. Okay, here. Like,
I learned it a bit before.
I know you did. You're so smart. Okay, Job.
I expect him to know all the answers.
I don't. No. I know the one that knows all the answers. I hang out with him. Book of Job is very interesting. The first couple of chapters, like his whole world, everything that he knew in the world gets collapsed. And chapter 2, verse 7 says, So when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What shall we receive good of, at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Okay. Now, let me keep that one in mind, and let me go to Matthew 12. So this is his wife. You don't hear from her anymore in that story, by the way. And Matthew 12, verse 46 says, While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then said one unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his people and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So the people that are close to you, and the people that you should allow to be close to you and at the core of your heart, are the people that, like Jesus said, look, who are my mother and my brothers? I mean, alright. He said, whoever will do the will of the Father. These are the people that you allow close. These are the people that you allow to your core. And it's tough because, you know, Jesus also said, you know, that your own enemies will be the members of your own household. For a lot of people, that's the case. That's what they deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that, you know, it's blood has a way of, they again can cut deeper and get to somehow, they have this yeah, they have this ability with us. But when it comes down to it, the ones who you should let be part of that core of your life and close to you and speak words into your life and let them affect the reality that you move with should be people that are on the same spiritual track with the Father and the pursuit and the choice that you have made to follow Him. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together, at least they'd be agreed? You can't go in the same direction with somebody if they're, I don't care if they're your brother, sister, mother, uncle, nephew. As much as you love them, you have to let them go, the choice that they've made, and you walk with the people that have chosen the path of spirit. Because with Job, you go back to this thing, if he took her advice, the book of Job would be very short. It'd be two chapters. Because, I mean, he would have just done that. Satan's the vice president. They would have, his point was, look, the reason this guy loves you, God, is because you're protecting him on every side, you don't let anything get near him, and he's just got the good life going, and as soon as everything falls apart for him, he's gonna fall apart too, because the reason that he cares about you is because, look, you take good care of him, and wouldn't anybody like the guy that takes care of him like that? And obviously that was the case with his wife. You know? That was the case with her. Whatever she might have done up until then, it was, as long as the going was good, everything was cool. But as soon as things started to fall apart, that's when it was like, you know, she didn't want any part of God then. And she's like, Job, come with me. Good note for everybody that's single. You know, heart and direction. And do people really trust Him for themselves, or do they not? You can't do it for somebody else. What you can do is you can allow God to lead and direct your life, and allow for somebody, if that is God's plan for you, to be in your life that has that same heart and direction. But you don't want people that collapse in that situation, because she didn't help him out there at all. And he would have perpetuated the exact same reality that he was in there. But instead, he had to go through this whole thing, and there was something he had to learn in this situation. He had a way that he thought God should do things. Now, God restores and God does all of that stuff with him, but he had to go through some stuff in that whole process. So, it's all right. A couple of things just to think about, since time goes fast. Bless and don't curse. You realize that there's a power that's in us to affect reality, to shape reality. You love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, many times people that do stuff, they don't know what they're doing. They really don't, because they're being motivated by satanic forces, and they don't have control and all of this stuff. And they'll say something to me, or they'll whatever, but it's like, I know it's not them. So, you know, my prayer for them so often is like, Lord, you know, just reveal to them what's going on, or open their eyes, or, you know, you got to meet them where they're at. But don't let your response come from your flesh. So this is why, when like you're in connection, because see, the flesh also wants to defend, you know. So have you ever heard of transactional analysis? What is it? Okay. if somebody, so many arguments are based on saying something like, you know, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? I mean, if you just simmer it down, it's basically along those same lines, of like, it's
defensive reaction
of to something, because you've taken it personal and you've taken it against. So like, why did you do bad in school? I didn't do. You know, somebody else's fault. Or why did you, But I'm sorry, I didn't know that didn't cut too close.
Remember how you used to come and just all of a sudden say, like, you know, I know you want to look good. She would have some story to say that. You know, how did you get to look? He's such a mean guy. I used to say, you know, it's telepathy, I know everything. He's such a mean guy. I used to do that very often.
Okay, going back into family history. But you, rather than defending ourselves for whatever's going on, don't get sucked into that stuff. Let the words that you speak bless people. Let the things that you do, because you can also avoid from perpetuating a certain reality that you're in that way. Or that you're around. Another one is also with the Word of God. I started doing this a lot more even recently. There's power in the Word. There's so much power, and you can turn it into a prayer. When not in connection with the Spirit, because you're not gonna make it be something that it's not. But so people, for example, that are concerned about their safety right now in this country. Go through the Psalms and let that be your prayer, because there's power in that. And you just realize, wait a second, this is all His, and He commands His angels concerning me. You know, they take care of me. I don't have to worry about this. And then you can have a boldness also with everything that you do, and knowing that, look, you know, this is covered, so you don't have to worry about your protection and going forward, because He's taking care of that. Just go on with the assignment that He has for you. You've got a much bigger entourage than the president does. He's put thousands of angels on task for you. So, and they'll clear your way. And you don't have to feed them all. You know? I think we might talk about this a little bit more in depth next week, but realize that there's power that God has put in you, and that the world is doing something to try to steer that power in a certain direction, but God has activated it by the power of His Spirit for those that follow Him and that have received that, and it's to be used for His kingdom purpose, His plan, His direction. And if you let that happen, your entire reality can change. Everything that you know can shift, and it can shift in a way where the stuff that was an issue is like, it's not even there, it doesn't even exist anymore. You can move into a whole different dimension. So cool. We'll stop there for now. Any questions?
Okay.
Yeah.
Walking in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I see some really, really nice qualities in people who are not believers. Sometimes they're really, really nice. Some of my friends were non-believers. They're really nice.
Yeah.
Not at the same sort of, you know, friendship level with some of the believers that I've hung out with.
Well, I have a big question about the believers that we've known and hung out with. Because, no, I'm serious. Because, see, we, again, what have we said, where the thing that's been tossed around in all the evangelical and religious circles is, okay, just because you show up here on a Sunday, you know, now you are a whatever. When did that happen? You know, I mean, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, no one comes to the Father except through Him. But He's truth. If somebody's on the path of truth, you know, and they don't call themselves a Christian, but they're, you know, maybe they don't call themselves by the title, but maybe that's who they are. You know, I think there are people that I've met that they don't fit the label as such, but they're his. Because in your spirit, it's like there's a connection and a kindred spirit with that person, where you don't find it with somebody else that may have all the labels, and yet they're not his. So they have the degree on the wall, and they've been validated by such and such seminary and all this stuff, but yet there's no connection, there's no kindred spirit with that person. They speak a word, and it doesn't resonate with the Spirit of God in me. And I know the Spirit of God in me. So I realize, wait, this one isn't, and this one is. This one's my brother, and this one's not. This one's my sister, and this one's not. Now, people may be in different places, but with time, that is revealed in people's hearts when they seek truth. So if somebody's genuinely on the path of truth, they will find Jesus. So it's like when you talk about, like, you know, some different people that are, yeah, you know, I realized I'd been brainwashed a certain way. You know, within the AOG, it was like if you weren't in the AOG, you know, forget the Methodists and it's like a Methodist. They couldn't tell you three differences between the Methodists and people that were in the Assemblies of God, and yet they were off. Why? You know, I mean, they can't. So there's all of these divisions. You know, the very nature of denominations is division, and yet they're perpetuated. You're searching for real ones. You're searching for real hearts. You're looking for, allow God to lead and direct you, and He'll show you. And many times what will happen is somebody will cross your path and they're one of His, and God will just use you to expound something to them that they can't articulate it maybe, but God's just shown you a little bit more. I mean, scriptures talk about a guy named Apollos who was a teacher, and Priscilla and Aquila, like, they meet this guy, and he knew only the baptism of John, but he was just speaking. He was a gifted teacher, and they took him aside, and they spent some time with him and expounded more on it to help them to know more about what it was that he already had a passion and a pursuit in. And then he became an incredible strength to the early church. So people are in different places, but he was one that genuinely loved God and was on a path of truth. So yeah, when you meet somebody that is on that path, just let that be the starting point and say, you know, if they really are your brother and your sister, there will be an agreement even in the conversations that you have. And you may not, you know, you don't have to do it in a church, you know, or they don't have to come to your Sunday service for them to be okay. And God knows those that are His. He doesn't lose a single one. But when it comes to the core of your life, you know, the people that you let close, let them be people that God has shown you are on that track, because ultimately you should be a support to them and they should be a support to you. You know, and there's a lot of people, because of what God has put in you, that would love to get close to you to try to drain that off. The whole vampire analogy. I mean, it is. It is that, because they're cut off from God because they're not in connection with Him. So they have to feed off of you. So they will try to get close, and they'll say all the right words, and they'll say all these things. But in the end, it's coming from a different spirit. I realized one recently. I'm just like, that's where that's coming from. Just like, cut it, because I don't have the time to be. If somebody's not on the path of truth, you know, if it's not God using me to salvage that person and to help rescue that person, or to confront that person on something, or what am I doing? You know, am I just hanging out there and waiting for, you see what I'm saying? It's like, am I waiting for now the chance for, because they're waiting. for many, many times, they're waiting for some chance to access you. At some point where you're weak, or you're tired, or you're down, or...
It's scary, true.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what they'll do is they'll hang around, and they'll wait and wait and wait for some point, some moment where they can access your soul and try to take a piece of you or drain off of you. And it's like, and that's not, you know, for the sake of your walk. Oh, my friend Chandala, he did a really good message recently where he just talked about like just looking for the leaks in your life. In fact, I think I might have, yeah, put it right here. Definitely a banker. And he just said, he gave like this chart, he just said for a month, you know, think about different places where, you know, like through a day, where these things have, because this, like, these are things that would leak the Spirit of God out of you, the life of God out of you. And he just said, you know, just start just thinking about this and being deliberate about it, and make adjustment, make change. But this is on like a personal level. But I'm also talking, what I was thinking about when I was thinking, is just your interactions with others. Because other people will seek to access your life, will seek to access your soul. So, you know, see, Jesus was very deliberate with the people that he interacted with. Very deliberate. You know, every person that he was with, there was purpose for the time that he spent with them. He enjoyed life, he enjoyed, you know, his interactions, but there was purpose in the words he said. There was purpose in the things that he did with people. And so it's like, you know, realize that most of the people in this world don't have your best interest at heart. Yeah. I mean, it's a harsh reality, because they're not like you. But most of the people in this world, you're in hostile territory. And you're on a rescue mission by God. God has sent you in here, into this world, on a rescue mission. You're like the Navy SEALs. You're in this world on a rescue mission sent by the Father for a purpose, for a limited time, to accomplish something. So, realize that you're in hostile territory, and there are demonic setups that to try to shipwreck your life, that they will be happy to take years to allow to come to pass. They'll put something in place that to try to that 5, 10, 15 years to try to get you. But the whole thing is to steer you on a certain track, to get you on another way that's not Christ. Tons of options. Which one will you take? You know, if repression and crushing you doesn't work, well, okay, let's give you success in the world. Let's make you a tremendously successful person in the world with all of the distractions that come with it. Does that work? You see what I'm saying? So stay close to the Father and allow for the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God. Because again, when you talk about agreement, he'll show you where there's people that, there's stuff that people have brought my way, and on every natural level it sounded like something great. And then God would show me somehow, it's like, stay away. That's not from him. It's a trap. It's like, okay, cool, because I trust him. Okay. Cool. So, should we stop there or should we keep going? Keep going. I got all night. Okay. Okay.
We haven't actually.
Get you both up. Okay, let's pray and let's close it out. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, so much for this evening. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your word and just for a chance to get together in your name. And Lord, Father, right now, we just pray, Lord God, that Father, for just for the lives that are in this room, Lord, for us, Father, that you, just this moment, Father, would seal us unto yourself in the midst of all that's going on. And Father, that your Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth, Father, that you would continue to open up this word even more and more, Lord God, in the days ahead, that we would know, Father God, what you have put in us, Lord, and you've allowed for us this day, Lord, this moment, and this dispensation, and this time. So, Lord, we bless each other, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, Father God, for those that couldn't come this evening, Lord, wherever they are. We just pray that, Lord, that you would minister to them, Father God, that you would strengthen them in their walk and in their connection with you. Lord, we pray, Father God, for everyone that's ever come through that door, Lord, for a study, that you would just strengthen them this night, Lord God, and we thank you for their lives. And Lord, we just want to pray, Lord God, this evening again, Lord, for this nation, Father, that you would raise up godly people in this land, Father, godly leaders, Lord, and godly people that know you, Father, to stand up for truth and for justice, and give them ability, Lord God, access, Father, and protection, Lord, from your Spirit to bring forward change, Lord, in this nation, Lord, according to your plan and your purpose, Father. Your will be done in this nation, we pray, Lord. So we just give ourselves over to you for whatever purpose that you would have with our lives in this regard as well. And so, Lord, we just pray for your safety, Lord God, and protection over us, Lord, as we would go to and fro, for us, Lord, our families, Lord, and our friends, that, Lord, that you would keep us, Father, in the midst of what's happening in this land. And, Lord, we know that you have us, and that nothing can touch a hair on our head, Lord God, until your plan and purpose for us is fulfilled. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you, and we just go on in Jesus' name.